Mic's on. Okay. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Oceano Community Services District this fine September 14th in Oceano. Can I ask for a roll call, please, Celia?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Garrow?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Karen, can I ask you one more time to do a flag sweep, please?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do we have any changes to the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the agenda as is.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? It passes. Great. At this time, we're going to open the floor up for public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I think it was last time I talked to you, your board. I mentioned the Oceano Dunes Dust Control Program, EIR, is out and open for comment, and that comment period has been extended. It was going to close on Friday the 16th of September. It's going to remain open another 17 days to October the 3rd. I again encourage your board to participate, perhaps ask State Parks for a presentation, something here on television that the people who are affected by the project can actually understand. Then there's something else I've been kind of talking to you about for throughout your budget process, and that you did a two-year budget and you did not include any costs associated with relocating utilities in light of the Highway 1 and 13th Street drainage project. That project, I believe, is a boondoggle. The budget has ballooned to it's coming up on almost $4 million. And there's a budget shortfall. The county doesn't have the funds. Close to $750,000 is not funded. So when they finally get approvals for the project, they have no way to build it because the money isn't all there. But what's also not there is your portion, in that you have to relocate a water line at Paso Robles Street, a water line at State Route 1, a sewer line at Railroad Street, a water line at 15th Street, 15th Street at Paso Robles. You have to relocate a water line, relocate any surface facilities or markers not yet identified, adjust to finish grade any valve or vault covers yet not identified, and on Railroad Street, relocate another water line. So these tasks that are before you are significant in cost, and you are not budgeting for them. And that concerns me, in that you're just not ready to pay for it. And this, coupled with the sewer line that you have to relocate as part of the Air Park Bridge, that will come later, yes, or maybe not. It depends on the approvals for the project at Highway 1 and 13th. But these are significant expenses when your priorities may be simply just patching and replacing leaky pipe that you know you have in the district.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker.
Madam President?
Yes, sir.
So with respect to those utility line relocation efforts, as expressed during prior meetings, we'll bring that item back to your board once we have the engineer's estimates of probable costs. With respect to The drainage project, I have seen some draft numbers this week and would expect that to be on your board's agenda in the near future. The magnitude of the cost is not insignificant, but within the funding levels that we have available in reserves for the district, for the water fund. Air Park Drive bridge relocation isn't scheduled for construction prior to 2018. And so during 2017, I'm sure we'll be getting some estimates of probable costs on that project as well. And that's primarily sewer. And similarly, would expect that even though the costs are not insignificant, we'll be within the reserves that we currently have.
Thank you for that clarification. Mainly, I thought I'd heard it started late in 2018. So. And I know that you've been in close contact with them, so thank you for that update. Does anybody else have anything they want to add to that or anything?
Okay. John Clemens, live in Oceano.
Mr. Clemens.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate something that I said at an earlier meeting I think was partially misunderstood. As part of a sewer maintenance plan, most agencies have a regular schedule for cammering their sewer lines, and what this does is prevent surprises, identifies hot spots. In an earlier meeting I mentioned it, and it was mentioned that Tony does have a camera and he does look, and my understanding is that's when you already have a problem area, but you have a certain amount of piping that it's normal practice and best practices to plan to look through all your lines, particularly when they're 50 years old. So I would hope that this district would take the time and schedule a reviewing of the pipelines. Just take a look at them. Either they're going to be good or they're not. But if they're not, then you get to head off some major expenses and some major surprises. The alternative of not doing it is that you have Tony going around. Tony and his crew going around trying to patch, playing whack-a-mole with a bunch of faulty sewer lines. So, I've done this for a long time, and the last time I did this, I was you kind of scoffed at me a little bit. But this is what I do for a living. And best practices is that you schedule and look through your sewer lines, and you check them. It's a preventive maintenance measure that's executed by almost every agency. So I hope this agency takes that up.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Mr. Ogren, would you like to comment?
Certainly.
Sewer
and
versus water?
With respect to our collection sewer system, and Mr. To Tony's best practices, they go beyond best practices. The district has an adopted sewer system management plan that's submitted to the Regional Water Board that we follow, both in terms of jetting and the continued maintenance on the sewer system. So that sewer system management plan has to be updated every 2 years. So at the end of 2016, we'll be doing another 2-year update on that management plan. But it incorporates both surveillance in order to make sure to identify new hotspots, and we are adding some new problem areas that we've identified. But it includes jetting. So the program right now goes beyond best management practices and into the sewer system management plan and compliance with the regional board's requirements.
And, of course, what you're not adding is that a few years ago, even we didn't have any maintenance going on the sewer system. And we were concerned about what had happened in Cambria with their significant spill. They had a $250,000 fine for having a significant spill. And that's why we brought in the jetter that did have the camera system. We did meet a little opposition that was thankfully set to the side regarding even buying the jetting system, but that was this was part of rebuilding and setting into best practices of the district. This was one of many things that we did in identifying that and bringing that about. So thank you, Paula.
Okay. Mr. Clemens, you at any time could come and speak to Mr. Ogren and look at our plan if you'd like. Okay. Is there any other public comment at this time? Hearing none, I'll close public comment. Let's move into staff reports. Mr. Maraschino How are you tonight?
Good, good. Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino. So since we last spoke, we had samples, 15 work orders, 9 USAs, 11 customer service calls, 3 after-hour call-outs. One was for a sewer lateral. 2 were for line breaks on the customer side. We're continuing, like I said earlier, last board meeting, we vacuumed out the valves and had leak detection, and that was all free. It was just us working with California World Water Association. All right, we scrapped 2.5 tons of scrap metal. We had about 900 pounds of asbestos concrete pipe that had to get removed from our yard, and that requires wrapping them in a 6-mil plastic and then labeling them before we could take it to Santa Maria's dump to dispose of it. We potholed a sewer main on Railroad and camered it, and that was for the drainage project on 13th and Highway 1 to verify the depth. Hauled off about 4 tons of concrete and asphalt. We're continuing to sewer jet our mains per our SSMP. Continuing to post for trash. First of the month, equipment runs. We had a couple fire flow tests. All of the backflow devices for OCSD were tested in the past week. Serviced the jetter. We had a surprise inspection from Environmental Health Services for hazardous material, and it went very well. Our inventory of hazardous material was spot on. Our site layout of our maps were accurate. The training program that we have for our field staff was adequate. The training documentation was in compliance. We have documentation of it. Emergency response plan, everything was good. The fees are all paid current. We have a secondary containment for our above ground storage tank. The one recommendation that they asked for was our eyewash stations to be documented, that we are testing them. Mm-hmm. And I currently did not have paper documentation of it. It's just a recommendation. So we put it on the first of the month equipment runs so we can check in the box that we are doing the eyewash stations. The one thing I did get hazardous material business plan was not updated online, and I got a 30 days to update it, and it's currently been updated since then. So that was the one thing that I got hit on. And currently, state water, we've had 465 acre feet delivered. We've pumped 2.9 acre feet. Lopez is currently at 24%, which is 12,145 acre feet. And we had no SSOs for the month of August. Any questions?
Great. Matt?
No. Thank you, Tony. Thank you very much.
Well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lori?
No, everything's good. Thank you.
Oh, wait. Come on now.
Yes, President.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about, you might be answering this, about the groundwater pumping. You said that we pumped 2.9 acre feet of the groundwater.
Correct. Year to date, we've only pumped 2.9, and that was basically for samples and a shutdown that Lopez had.
And our partners in the groundwater basin, do we know what they've pumped? Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande?
I don't have exact numbers, but the last report I seen, they are pumping.
Are they pumping at 100%? Are the numbers up to date? Talk to me a little bit about this.
The numbers I seen weren't current. I seen up to first 3-4 months of the year. So I can't.
Of the year. So does it break it down into quarters in your report, your
monthly
numbers, bi-monthly?
Yes.
Bi-monthly?
Monthly.
Oh, monthly.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So if we're in the 9th month and the last time you saw pumping numbers for our partners was in what, February, March?
I would say March, April time frame.
March, April. Okay, so let's just be fair. April, May, June, July, August, September. So we're missing 6 months of pumping data?
That I have seen, yes.
So how would we get that? I mean, because obviously self-reporting is being a challenge. To get people, because the basin is so fragile right now, you know, I think everybody should be paying attention to the pumping, the amount of pumping, you know, and the damage it does. So how would you, so if it's self-reporting, and we're 6 months on an average, I don't want to tie it down to 6 months, is there a better way of getting it more accurate data? I think everybody needs to be watching right now, particularly it's hot.
So, Madam President, in terms of the compilation of data for the Northern Cities Management Area and our groundwater reporting, even though we get monthly figures, it's compiled on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
So I should expect to see the June 30th numbers anytime. I may have actually have them in my email. I may have just not popped it open yet. So we compile them on a quarterly basis, and that quarter ending June 30th, those numbers should be forthcoming if they're not already here.
Okay, so if they're here by the next meeting, can
yes.
you bring them to the board?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Okay. Karen, do you have anything to do on the Five Cities Fire Authority?
No, we have a regular monthly meeting at 10 a.m. this Friday.
Okay.
Grover City Hall.
Great.
And we haven't had any major fires, and everybody's home from all the other fires.
Well, let's just keep our fingers crossed. I know that a lot of people in the community and in surrounding communities are starting to report more and more activity by rodents because there's no water and there's no fruit on the trees. And so I know that on my street, pretty much everybody's been impacted, and I know that there's several places, say down on the Strands over on Elm. So everybody keep an eye out for the little critters who want to come in and get a drink.
Bring bubonic plague and rabies.
Oh, just trying to be nice, Karen. And all their diseases. Baba, we have Zone 3 tomorrow, correct?
Correct, and thank you, President Lucy, for sitting in for me tomorrow night, since I will have another commitment that I need to attend to.
Well, and thank you for your representation and leadership on the Zone 3. It's been extremely valuable to the Oceano area and particularly to the South County. Sheriff's Department, do we have a sheriff's report this month? Hearing none. Miss Angelo.
Well. I have not attended any meetings other than the project that Linda and I both sit on as far as revitalization. And we got to see a lot of stages of things to develop. It's coming along slowly, but it's coming along.
Yeah.
Money's the big issue. Money's the big issue. They've got a lot of designs that we think will be really good for the traffic flow. And other than that, we're just kind of
trying
to work through, yeah.
Thanks.
But it'll be good when it's done.
Okay. Take it away, Jen.
Okay. I attended the Regional Water Management Group meeting on September 7th, and we did talk about Prop 1 funding, and we were notified that the implementation funding is going to be given in two rounds in 2018 and 2020. So that gives the DACs, the disadvantaged communities, which we are a part of, some time to prepare our projects for the 2020 most likely funding round. And so that was that funding. And then also part of that funding is going to be used to create a stormwater resource plan that would use no more than $250,000 of that funding. And it will cover areas that do not already have resource plans. The other thing that was covered was the disadvantaged communities projects.
And I think that we had talked about how San Luis Obispo City is included in the disadvantaged communities group, and they announced at the meeting that they were going to be scaling back their project and request for money. And so we did find out that they were scaling it back to end up being half as much as would be provided for the other communities. But they said that they still had some aspects of a project that had to be done, and so they were putting in their request for that. So I think that President Lucy and I were wondering if the rest of the board was interested in discussing that at the next meeting, and possibly sending a letter of concern or support or whatever we felt like was necessary. But I'll let you add any other comments that you have.
Well, I actually thought it would be a good discussion for the board, because this is a very, very small pool of money for communities that truly are disadvantaged. And the definition that the city of San Luis Obispo used doesn't really fall into any kind of definition. But they squeezed it in there to attempt to get into this small, small pool of money. This money is for communities that do not have full-time engineers on staff creating plans and getting areas ready as what we call shelf ready. That is a privilege. The city of San Luis has numerous engineers in their public works department, and so this is less than $800,000 to be split up among the communities who truly are disadvantaged. And there, at this time, with the city of San Luis Obispo, there were six cities. Four applied for funding. San Luis Obispo applied for funding. There was a recommendation that it be divided by five ways. Some of us didn't agree with that recommendation. The city of San Luis decided to opt out of they split it up into two pots. One's prep and one's implementation, and basically, and they passed on the first one. And, you know, the more and more I think about this is that it sets a precedence. I don't think that that communities who don't have a choice whether they're disadvantaged or not, that in the future the money is going to become harder and harder when you have other communities who have choices whether they can go to other sources and stuff. So I do think we should talk about it at a board level, if everybody agrees upon that.
All right. That sounds like a good idea. We can bring it back.
Future agenda item.
Can we put that on as a future agenda item?
Certainly. That would be the next meeting, because the county's looking for feedback on the draft prior to their larger regional meetings with the other counties on October 4th. And so I indicated to the county staff that your board may want to weigh in as a board as a whole, and indicated we could get it on next meeting's agenda, and they indicated that that timing would be fine with them.
I have a question.
Sure, Karen.
I see that the grant they have is going to work at the Prado Road area. Is that in any way have a nexus to the big homeless shelter they're building there?
I don't know the details specifically, but I don't anticipate that it would be. Prado Road is where they have their recycle water facilities, their wastewater facilities, their corporate yard.
But that's where the homeless shelter is going.
Yeah, but that wasn't there.
A little bit down the road on Prado Road, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I anticipate that this, and the brief description that they have does speak to issues like flood protection around their site.
Okay, thank you.
Sir.
And the population they describe isn't homeless people.
Yeah.
Okay, but so we'll have that on the future agenda, Mr. Ogren. Thank you very much. Thanks, Jen. That was a great report. Karen, do you want to go?
I really haven't had any meetings other than earlier this evening. I went to the first meeting on planning for complete plan for Halcyon Road from Highway 101 to Highway 1 with sidewalks, bike lanes, and improvements on the whole road. The Rio Grande, City of Rio Grande got a grant, and the county's involved in it.
Hopefully we get a stoplight at Pike and Halcyon. That's a scary intersection.
In our sphere of influence, there's issues with the Pike and then Ladue, which is right at the Halcyon store.
Okay.
And then Highway 1, of course, where they have proposed the roundabouts. So I will go back. The meeting is tonight and tomorrow night, and I will go back tomorrow night and follow up on that. Because the real challenge in that road comes from the Pike through Highway 1. And I don't know, there's some real challenges in widening a road where you've got a historic building on one side and then agricultural land in the Williamson Act on the other. So you've got Class 1 agricultural land you can't take for roads and historic stuff, and then you've got a hill you have a challenge with the view coming up the Pike on both sides. You can't see enough to put a stop sign or a stoplight. At least that's what I've been told. And Pike and Halcyon Road is the most dangerous spot on the whole road from Highway 101 to Highway 1, according to their statistics. So, and that certainly is a lot of Oceano people use that corner coming and going. So I will find out what I can find out. Thank you.
Matt?
I don't have anything to report. Thank you, Ms. President Lucy.
Okay. I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee. Mainly we welcomed on the South County Sanitation District with an MOU participating, and I think there was one more group too that came on. Cayucas Sanitary. So they're now part of the Water Resource Advisory and have an MOU on file, and the Board of Supes adopted that. We talked about the rain and the reserves and the monitoring the groundwater basin. The county did a pretty good update on that. This is the first time RAC has gotten together since the summer holiday. So they usually take the summer off, so it was a pretty busy meeting. They talked a little bit about the threshold for the reserves for the county flood control and water conservation, mainly the general fund operating expenses. And then they endorsed the recommendations from the IRWM group for the disadvantaged communities allocations. And then there was a presentation on the Shandon San Juan Water District, and it was actually a pretty brief presentation, to be honest. So those minutes are online if people want to take a look at that. I attended the South County Sanitation District. The request to the Coastal Commission for the redundancy program has been put together and sent on. There was not a new EIR put together for this, so they went with the local hazard mitigation plan that was already prepared in 2010 and upgraded it. There was comments, suggestions. The Coastal Commission and the engineers and staff didn't feel like a new plan needed to be created. Some people voiced a concern about it sitting, the plant sitting next to an uncertified levee. So I think that overall, it went well. Ms. Tacker had mentioned last time that she had mentioned the amount of paper that was described that went to the Coastal Commission. And so this was what I received as my packet to show people. I think that the work is being done. And I'm pretty sure that the report that's been revised and sent on to the Coastal Commission is up online. I'm not absolutely positive on it, but I would assume it would be. If not, I would call, and I'm sure they'd be happy to get a hold of you. I mean, get it to you as soon as possible. There was a review of the budget, but mainly Mr. Huebner and Mr. Clemens. Well, actually, it was Nunley and Associates who gave the presentation on that. So the board did accept the recommendation that went on to the Coastal Commission, the plan that went on to the Coastal Commission. They got an update on the Cherry Avenue sewer pipe bridge maintenance project. Those plans are all in, and they're waiting to hear back on that so they can move swiftly on that. And then the mechanical bar screen headworks improvement project at the plant is under operations and heading in the right direction, I hope. And I'm sure that somebody will have other things to add, but overall the meeting was fine. So that's just all I did last week. Anybody else have any reports? No? Hearing none, we'll take public comment at this time on items that were just discussed. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And something that you didn't mention that was at the Sanitation District was the fact that the settlement for the ACLs and the lawsuits is going to a public comment period. You have until October the 6th to weigh in on the actual settlement. I would ask that your board look at this. One of the things that the settlement does is the district, the sanitation district, will be paying $554,906.40 of the $1.1 million of the fine to the State Water Board cleanup and abatement account, which provides grants to clean up pollution in cases where no viable responsible party is available, or, and this is a part you should listen to, or for habitat restoration studies, monitoring, and planning activities. I'm going to comment because I think the money, $554,000, should go towards planning, studies, monitoring, and habitat restoration here in Oceano. This is a statewide fund. This should go to study the issues here. Your board, I've heard you speak individually. You haven't had a topic on your agenda to have any consensus, but your board has, your board members that serve on the sanitation district, both you, Mr. Guerrero and Ms. Lucy, have expressed concern over the redundancy project and the $20 million being put into a 50-year-old plant and sea level rise and those things that we share in agreement. I've made these comments before. These planning monies could look at moving the sewer out of Oceano so that you could build a recycling water facility somewhere else. And I would ask that your board actually comment on this comment period. With regard to the rest of the meeting, Ms. Lucy, there was no EIR. This is a mitigated negative declaration, not the local hazard mitigation plan. So just for terminology's sake, mitigated negative declaration. What you did last week was an addendum, sending a resolution to the Coastal Commission, sort of restating that the project is the same as it was in 2009 when the CEQA documents were prepared back then. The majority of the packet that you just showed is the CEQA documentation for the sewer bridge that was also on that agenda. So just to be accurate, I wanted to point that out. So.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. Mm-hmm. Anybody else like to speak on any of the committee reports?
Microphone's off.
So anybody else that'd like to speak on committee reports from the directors? Okay, hearing none, we'll close public comment at this time. Next page.
And of course, can I piggyback on something Ms. Tacker was saying?
Yes.
And my concern, of course, with the redundancy project is that the it doesn't move us any farther towards reclamation. 2.3 million gallons a day coming from Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach. Another equivalent amount coming from Pismo Beach. We really need to be moving forward towards reclamation, and those monies ought to be considered, those ideas ought to be considered before the money is spent. So it needs to be the priority. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Good to go? All right. Let's go into consent agenda items. Did anybody read their minutes? Relive the moment? Come on now.
There's no minutes attached to it. That was a trick question.
Trick question.
It's like you got me on that one.
Okay. Did anybody look at how we spent the money?
Or are about to.
Or about to, I should say.
Yes, you have public comment on it, and then we...
Okay. We're going to get through these, and then we'll do public comment. And we don't have any will serve letters, correct? So it's just the will serve. Okay.
Just cash disbursements.
Okay. Any public comment on consent items for just cash disbursements? Hearing none, I'll close public comment at this time.
Move to approve.
Second.
Roll call vote, Ms. Celia.
Your microphone's off there.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. I'm sorry. Okay, it passes 5-0. Okay, right now we're going to do hearing items.
So, Madam President, I want to kind of confirm that the title, which is not binding, but these are not actually hearing items. They're business items.
Oh, well, I'm just going by what the paper says.
Yes, and the point there is that on our business items, I'll usually describe whether or not I have a presentation that adds to the written staff reports,
okay.
Because then it's your discretion as to whether or not you take public comment individually or before all of the items. On these two items, they're relatively brief, and the brief comments that I do have are going to be consistent with the written staff report, and I really don't have much substantive presentation in addition to the written staff report.
Very good. Do any directors have anything to comment on? Well, I'm glad to see that we're prepping and getting ready for another annual report on the basin. And so this is our portion for that annual report that does go to the courts, but a lot of us use that annual report to know what kind of shape our groundwater basin is in. They test it, they try to as much characterization as they have, where there needs to be more and new well sites and such, and if people have changed locations on where they're pumping and stuff, you're going to find all that in this wonderful, wonderful report. So this is where we all come together, we chip in our money, and we do it. So if anybody wants to comment at this time on the RFP for the report, now is the time to do it, Ms. Tacker.
President Lucy, sorry. I just want to be clear, are you requesting public comment right now on both items or just
no,
on...
just the first one.
Okay,
You
said the second one.
That's the second one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got confused. I apologize.
That's okay. We'll go B and then A.
We'll go B and then A.
Okay.
A,
yeah.
If you want to hold your comment, we'll go through A real quick and then you can comment on both or
well, let me just ask, because what I understood Mr. Ogren to just say is that his presentation really it doesn't differ
Correct.
From the report.
Correct.
And I think to be transparent, we would see the presentation, both presentations, and at, after each one, then you go to public comment. To ask me to go to public comment before either one of these is really unfair.
Well, I think I let me restate what I just said, so maybe I'm a little bit clearer, is that I was offering to do public comment on B right now.
Right.
Mr. Ogren would do his presentation, and then you could come up and do public comment. But, or you can sit down and wait for Mr. Ogren to do his presentation and then come up and speak on A and B.
So he's going to do two presentations and then I can speak after you've taken action on one or the other?
We're not taking action until there's public comment.
Okay, so maybe you should just go to A, let him present, open it to the public. Maybe there's other people that want to speak. Then go to B, open it to the public, like normal. I'll wait.
Great.
And President Lucy, you do have discretion as to how you take public comment, as long as public comment is available on the items before or during your deliberation.
Okay. Mr. Ogren, did you want to do a presentation on A?
Certainly. And Tony, maybe you can drop some of the lights. So agenda item number 8A is consideration of recommendations to authorize the general manager to obtain proposals from architectural engineering firm, essentially to send out a request for proposals, to evaluate utility yard facilities and to prepare options for repairs, replacement, and site layout, and to work with the neighboring property owners on possible easements benefiting an adjacent property. So the four slides that I have for the PowerPoint are all within the board package, but I want to make sure to take the time to actually walk through them. This is the vicinity map, and so our horizontal street there is Wilmar Avenue. It's just north of the community center and just north of Oceano Elementary School. And then 19th Street is the north-south corridor that the water yard is located on. The water yard is itself in the bigger yellow box here. The district property adjacent to the water yard also includes essentially what looks like half of the historical 19th Street. And then there's a little hashed area on this exhibit, which is curved, and that is also district property. So the adjacent property owner at 1929 Wilmar Avenue has a unique shape to his piece of property, where it's not the normal rectangular configuration, but instead it's rectangular with a little bit of an arch taken out. And that arch is especially important because that provides us with the access to the water yard on the southern entrance. You can kind of see a little bit of pavement up above that yellow arch between the water tank and some of our other facilities on the left side. So that's our basic layout. Without fully researching why is it that we own what appears to be half of 19th Street, what is seemingly the reason is that in that top left corner of our yard is where our connection to State Water and Lopez Water comes in, and that's where our vault is. And then as we go south on north-south on 19th Street, those additional, we have our one of our main trunk lines in that area. So,
say that again, Pavel, top left, meaning the yeah, arc.
See if I can get
we are
the
here, top left. Okay, this
is, in here is where we have the vault.
I'm familiar with that. Right?
Yeah, where the connection to the county and where we obtain our Lopez water and our State Water from.
Correct. Okay.
And so, going through southerly through this area is where we have our main water line that brings in. Either water comes out of our storage tanks. We have some wells in this yard, although we don't use them very often. And then again, the main line that comes down here.
That main line is buried, though, correct?
Correct.
Because I've driven over that.
Yeah, and there's pavement. It looks like from the picture, it looks like it's all sand, but there's actually a lot of pavement in that area as well.
All right.
Pieces.
Yes. So we have two different issues that are going on with our site. One issue is the deferred maintenance associated with the water yard itself. I have a few pictures, and they're included in the staff report, and they don't really fully illustrate the deferred maintenance of the facilities. It's in pretty bad shape. And so because we're embarking on our infrastructure planning efforts with some of the grants that we've received on the water system, and should be on your board's agenda in the near future, the opportunity at this time to go out for a request for proposals for a relatively small dollar amount at less than $25,000, which would be shared by water, sewer, and the garbage fund, since the crews all use this site as the as the utility yard. It's not just a water yard. But that request for proposal will enable us to bring in an architect, engineering type of a firm to come in and do the evaluations of the yard, our existing structures, and what the options would be in order to replace or upgrade or repair those existing structures. Well, as timing would have it, the property owner at 1929 Wilmar, his architect approached us and asked whether or not we would consider providing an easement across the property we have here that runs along 19th Street to provide him with optional access to his property. Currently, his legal access is up the driveway from Wilmar, which is why his address is 1929 Wilmar. Essentially, his house is on a flag lot. If he can obtain an easement from the district to be able to access his property directly from 19th Street, then he believes that that would be give him the ability to do a lot split and to be able to put another house on his piece of property. So obviously he has some incentives to do so. So there's the two issues. One is we have a request from a property owner to consider easements. And then secondly, we have deferred maintenance on our yard that we need to address. And so my thought is that I really want to make sure we address our utility yard before anything formal with the property owner with respect to his easement request. So the recommendation as part of this item is simply to authorize me to go beyond the very, very basic discussions that I've already had with the property owner. So then a couple of additional slides. These are some of the pictures that are in the staff report showing the facilities, obviously roofing, water damage. We have termites out there. It's a situation that really needs to be addressed. In addition, the middle photo shows the fence along 19th Street. And I think anybody who's driven in the area will recognize that along 19th Street, our water yard, utility yard, is really something of an eyesore on 19th Street.
Except for the water tank.
When we look at this aerial view, what it kind of begs for is, do we have room, and there certainly appears to be some room in here, to be able to push that fence back, maybe create some parking, for the yard itself. But in addition to looking at the state of the facilities and their dilapidation, look at whether or not we can modify the fences and do something so that the site itself is less industrial looking and more consistent with the neighborhood that exists there on 19th Street. You know, obviously, in the garbage program, we're working on different efforts to try to clean up the community and address some of the illegal dumping issues. And I think we also have some responsibility within district here on 19th Street to address the facilities that the district owns and make them more amenable to a neighborhood type of a feel. Obviously, we're still going to have a water tank. We're still going to have the yard there. But by going out there and working with architect engineering firm, what are our options to address the deferred maintenance at the site, as well as hopefully make it a nicer property consistent with the neighborhood? This is simply two real quick versions, options that are not conclusive in any nature, just preliminary thoughts that the architect for the property owner has put together. This wasn't at our cost, at the district cost. And the important feature here are these curves, these S-curves, because this S-curve is, again, at the property owner's expense, hired an engineer to say, what is it that if we need to get a semi-truck back into the water yard, and we do from time to time, where is it that we need to make sure that we have clearance? And so I'm having fun with my PowerPoint again. So the curved line in here is the path that the...
just leave it like that, Pablo.
I know, I'm not going to touch it again. Is the path that the truck follows, and then there's secondary curved lines in there, which on an 18-wheeler is the path that the trailer follows. So the property owner hired an engineer to do at least this basic analysis. And then the difference in the two options is, one, if it's just easements provided, and secondly, the second option is if there's also a lot line adjustment. So those are the two different approaches in talking with the property owner. Compensation would be required because there's a value to the easement that would have to be determined. One of the concepts is that instead of giving us a cash payment, we might be looking for them to do improvements. That whole section along 19th Street is not in good shape. It, you know, begs for landscaping. It begs for some low-impact development drainage swales to help address when we have stormwater running through. There's a potential to be able to provide a little bit of parking for the neighborhood. So I think that, you know, the basic discussions that I would have with the property owner is, well, first, they'd be very slow because I'd have to get through the RFP process, come back to the board in order to award a contract to an architect engineering firm, and what do we think our options are with our site. But instead of cash contribution, the expectation is that they would provide in-kind work to help dress up the area and make it better for the neighborhood, as well as they would have some long-term maintenance requirements as well, consistent with the granting of an easement. So those are my comments on this particular item. I think that the timing is good to work with the property owner in addressing what are our options at the utility yard site, and the timing of doing the utility site yard evaluations is consistent with our embarking on our overall capital projects work efforts, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
So if I understand correctly, Pavel, what you're looking for tonight is, this is kind of an introductory, we're flirting with the issue, you're looking for some direction from the board as to whether or not we'd entertain it even? And
yeah, that's correct. So if the recommendations are approved, then that means that the district will entertain it. Nothing conclusive will occur between,
right,
you know, the discussions that I would have with the property owner. After we have hired the second part of the recommendation to go out for proposals with architectural and engineering firms, after we've had our selected consultant evaluate our yard options, then that information would be the basis that I could really have more detailed discussions with the property owner and then bring it all back to the board,
right,
for future consideration.
Because I don't, right, obviously at this early stage, I don't think we have enough information to make a decision regarding whether or not we want to do an easement or do it at all or sell to a property line adjustment and the
costs,
right, involved.
So the preliminary discussions I've had with the architect for the property owner is simply to say, these are the issues that sort of are at play or that we need to be thinking about, you know. Would it be an easement? Would it be a lot line adjustment with an easement? We have to make sure we can get trucks onto the yard. Maybe if we modify our own yard configuration, it might provide some other options. But these are the basic issues that we would be addressing then.
So my recollection, though, I didn't drive by there this week, but my recollection is there's three houses on that property, right?
Four.
And there's four?
Well, there's... there's three different pieces of property.
Okay.
And so the two that are the southerly two properties, the one that's right there on Wilmar and the one right behind it, yeah, those are separate pieces of property. The third property is the large one with a single structure on it, and they believe they have enough square footage to do a lot split and put a fourth structure there.
Okay. And then as to the yard improvements, obviously there'll be we'll be entertaining different ideas, be it a metal structure, repairing the one we have, and looking at some costs associated with that, I'm assuming, in the future.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Do any other board members have any questions on this?
I do. I was curious. You mentioned the grant funding, and I wasn't sure, would the planning be reimbursed by the grant funding, or is the work just possibly being done concurrently?
It would just be concurrent. Yeah, that's right. The grant funding is not available for this work effort.
Particular. Okay. And then do you see that, where do you see that coming from, the facilities fund or?
No, I was anticipating that once we got proposals, we'd come back and propose the budget adjustment. Right now, our basic ratios between water and sewer and garbage are around 40, 45, and 5%. So those ratios that we utilize for our admin cost allocations would be the same ratios that I would come back and propose for each of the funds between water, sewer, and garbage.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ogren, did the map that you just had up there, was this created by the engineer for the property owner, or was it created in-house?
No, this was at the property owner's expense and done by their architect and an engineer working for the architect.
Okay. Secondly, this is the old Dean property. This was Pamela Dean's property. And she lived in the front house and then built the second two. But the property closest to the water yard, the one that they want to split, we do have, because his property used to be attached to the water yard, the owners of the water rights in the area lived in that house. So we have a piece of equipment in his yard that I want to get. We have one of the historical lamp posts in his yard. So I thought maybe you could use that as a negotiating. But if he would donate our lamp post back to us, I would be forever grateful. That would be one more lamp.
I know those are historic, you know, lamp posts here in Oceano, and that a lot of people value them, and I will talk to him, but I don't know how hard it will be to wrestle it away from him. So, well, I'll report back on that
maybe
item.
It's hidden pretty good under that pine tree that's growing around it and over the top of it. He might not even know it's there.
Well, and we have identified that his fence doesn't exactly sit on his property line, so maybe that lamppost is really on our property, and we're going to have to we'll have to figure that out. Yeah.
But, okay. So,
duly noted.
Duly noted. Out of 8 years, Mary got a light for Oceano.
She can retire now.
Long history of failure in lights. Okay, so in the far left-hand corner, if you go down just a little bit further, there is a green strip that splits going up the street and going down the street. And I think that is district property. Now, it wouldn't be tied to this project per se, because there's a couple houses in between that green strip. And at one time, a past director wanted to gift that to the county.
So are you speaking about the median that's north of
Correct.
The yard on 19th Street?
I think that is property of OCSD.
Well, we can check into it. From my experience, it would be unusual for that to be our property, because
yes, I think so too.
Normally those medians would be within the road right-of-way, And so we can double check on it, but...
Well, the reason why I think it is our property is that we had a past director try to gift it to the county. And you can't gift it unless you own it. So, but, you know, this is Oceano, so I don't know, you know. But,
I think we have a lot of history with that property, actually.
There's a lot of history on that piece of property.
I think we've spent money there before.
There's blood on that land.
good time to...
As you look through this planning and kind of revamping the yard and working with the neighbors in a neighborly way, we might want to check out that median down there to see if we're, one, liable, and two, if this would be a good time to figure out what we're doing there.
Well, and Madam President, we can certainly do that with no increase in estimated costs.
Woo. So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Document that.
Okay.
Okay. So for the sake of
thank you,
the public, at this time we'll take a public comment on B.
A.
Excuse me. Being really dyslexic tonight.
She really is in a hurry to get to that item B.
In a hurry to get to what?
Item B.
No, it's actually, I'm in a hurry to get something else.
Okay.
Jeff promised me. Okay. Ms. Tacker?
Yes, I am Julie Tacker, and I was a little surprised to see the condition of the facilities. I recall that Mr. Geeslin put a lot of time and money into prettying up the place and giving tours even. So I have to say I was a little surprised because of all the talk about it. But I'm not surprised because you haven't had a lot of money to work with to keep up on it. Something Paavo said, and I'm paraphrasing, but you said you felt like it was the responsibility of the district to make it aesthetically more amenable to the neighborhood, and that I completely, totally agree. And I hope that that philosophy goes with the old fire station. Put that same level of effort into dressing that thing up so that it, I mean, that's a historic piece of property, and it's, you know, it's such a prime piece of real estate. I'd like to see you invest in it as well. I'm only concerned about the process here, in that you just adopted a budget 6 weeks ago, and now you have a project that you're going to have to do a budget adjustment for. Is this a surprise that you were going to do this, or couldn't this have been part of the budget that you adopted? That's all.
Thank you. Anybody else want to do public comment at this time? Okay. Hearing none, I'll close public comment for A.
So I think that we should just give staff direction to follow the recommendations that are considered in the staff report and bring it back when there's something to talk about. I don't think we need a motion.
Yeah, a motion to approve staff recommendations would be consistent. Yeah.
Then I'll make a motion to approve staff recommendation. Then.
Second.
Okay. Do we need roll call on this? Since there's a...
No, you don't, but after your board acts, I would like to make a final comment.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Passes 5-0. Mr. Ogren.
Okay, so with respect to the budgetary comment from Ms. Tacker, which I think is a good one to discuss real quickly, the two-year budget that your board adopted is really a baseline budget for operations and maintenance purposes. We know that we have a lot of work in order to address infrastructure and capital improvements. The ability to fund something like this is really because of the cost savings from the prior year. And so when we bring back items to your board, and at the next meeting we'll bring back an item which we discussed at the last meeting about the repairing the flooring for the housing unit for the fire staff, that what we're really talking about is living within the constraints of the savings from the prior year or new revenues that we received. So this is certainly within that approach. The new revenues that we can anticipate will be grant revenues, and so once we actually have those grant agreements in hand, we'll bring them to your board, budget the revenues, and then budget the program costs associated with the grants. And to the extent that we may not receive, but if we do receive unanticipated revenues, like from development, that might then be another source of revenues within a fiscal year to help address capital facilities. But right now, the basic approach is to look at, can we fund anything this year based on savings from the prior year, and then with the grant revenues, bring in the revenues and the program costs at that point in time. So I just wanted to make sure to clarify that the baseline budget that your board approved was just that, a baseline budget, and we're having to identify how are we going to fund the issues in order to start pursuing capital improvements.
Right. Keeping in mind that annual budgets are what we foresee in the future, and we can't predict exactly what's going to happen. So I always expect adjustments to an annual budget. It's, I've just always operated that way, and, you know, for 25 years, people have been modifying their annual budget to accommodate this or that. So thank you very much, Mr. Ogren. Is there anybody else who'd like to make comment on this? Mr. Ogren's comments? Nothing?
Nope.
Okay. What? Did I hear
No, I was ready to move on to 8B.
Not
before you, though.
Not AA. Not before you. That's good. Okay, let's talk about the annual report. That would be B.
So this action recommendation is consistent with prior years. The stipulations out of the litigation of the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin require us to work with our other Northern City Management Area agencies, Pismo, Grover, and Rio Grande, to prepare an annual report. We went out with a request for proposals, solicited it to a number of different firms. GSI was the only firm that responded. The increases in costs are really attributable to SGMA, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and some new reporting requirements that we're going to have there. The contingencies are in case we pick up any evidence of seawater intrusion. We have not seen that in the water quality testing so far, but if we did, then we would be able to have a little bit of money in order to do some additional water quality testing. As a side note, WSC consultants helped with the preparation of the RFP, and so through my purchasing authority, we're helping to fund some of that. Overall, we do not fund the staff extension work of WSC consultants that they're providing to Grover and Pismo and Arroyo Grande, but when they're doing work that is specifically associated with a technical effort, then it is appropriate for us to do so. And so that's just kind of a side note to make sure your board is aware that I am issuing a purchase order within my limitations, because WSC Consulting was the one who took the lead on preparing the proposals. The recommendations in front of your board today are consistent with the staff recommendations of Grover, Pismo, and Arroyo Grande as well. They have different purchasing limitations, so they don't all have to go back to the City Council, but the approach is consistent amongst each of the agencies, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Is it 6% our vested interest in that, or is that the Lopez?
Yeah, 6.69% for Lopez, right, and 21% for the groundwater.
Okay. Thank you.
Management efforts.
All right. I have to tell you is that I've been very impressed with GSI's work in their monitoring, their consistency in their testing, and when they think that something might be foul, they go back and they do it again. I think that out of all the reports that I've read that they've published in the past, well, they've contributed to the report in the past, I have been satisfied and I've been probably one of the more critical ones as far as expenditures for the basin for this. So, except for you, I know that you've been far more critical than I.
I have a question regarding the other entities. Obviously, we're 21%. Rio Grande, Grover, and Pismo have their portions of it. Have their councils met and approved this expenditure yet, Tino?
Yes. Rio Grande approved it last night. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Grover and Pismo do not need to take it to the city councils, that they can approve it at the staff level.
So, okay.
And just out of curiosity, who is the main engineer over at, I know it's Greg Ray for Grover Beach.
Yes.
And then is Mr. English still primary?
Yes, on the utility. Now, yeah, there? Jeff English is the department head in Rio Grande, and then Ben Fine with Pismo Beach.
Right.
Right.
And isn't there another person over at Rio Grande?
I think that they have a vacancy on their public works side, which is the, you know, their roads, streets, highways, and development review.
Oh,
I'm not sure
so
if they filled the vacancy.
Water.
Correct. Just, it's not the water side.
Just
yeah.
another supervisor. Okay.
Yeah.
For another department. All right. Very good. Okay. At this time, we'll open up public comment. So if there's no more comments from the board members, we'll open up public comment for 8B. Hearing none.
All right. I'll move to approve staff recommendation that we approve the attached professional services agreement with GSI Water Solutions to prepare the 2016 annual report for the Northern Cities Management Area in the amount of $34,747 plus contingencies of $3,465 for a total contract amount of $38,212, and direct President Lucy to execute that. And number two, to direct to the general manager to return to the board prior to authorizing the use of the contingencies.
Second.
Okay. Let's do a roll call vote. Celia, please.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. It carries 5-0. Thank you very much. Utility items.
None. We do have under item 12 a little bit of late received written communications that I wanted to cover.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
The first one, there's a handout, and that is from Elena Cano with the county clerk's office. And what we did in response to your board's request and League of Women Voters is we did a little bit of reach out, because whenever it's election season, we need to be careful about what we do.
Supposed to be hands off, right?
Well, and so I'm going to make sure everybody's got this. I'm going to read it. Hello, Pablo and Nicole. Nicole has been helping me and coordinating with the League of Women Voters. Just wanted to touch base with you and let you know that it's perfectly acceptable for a CSD to allow the League of Women Voters to facilitate a candidate forum. I would suggest that staff not have too much involvement in the process or the coordination of this event. And what I want to really emphasize is that it says not have too much involvement. It doesn't say no involvement, so, and I'll get into that a little bit. As a former city clerk, it was important for me and the organization to remain neutral and unbiased when it comes to elections, holding, facilitating, or coordinating a candidate forum on the staff level can come across to some as showing favoritism or support of candidates. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact me. I'll do the best to assist you. And so I think that this is an important message, and what the League of Women Voters has asked us is to simply reach out to the candidates, find out if they're all interested, and help to schedule a time. And I think that that would be not too much involvement. The idea being is we won't get involved in questions. We won't be involved in setting up the candidates forum. We won't be involved in any of that. We don't feel that it would be appropriate to utilize district funds even to video it. Basically, people who show up and want to listen to the candidates are the ones who are, you know, there's probably at the next, whenever it gets done, timing is established, we can report it at the board, put it on our website, you know, some real basic information like that. But just simply stay away from getting
too involved in it. Just real basic contact and coordination for the league.
Could we provide the meeting facility?
Yes.
That wouldn't be too much involvement.
No.
Do you know if they mentioned, I feel like from the past I remember that they won't do it either unless all the candidates are interested in doing that. Is that true? Did they mention that? Or
it seems to be the case. So what we're going to do, though, is we'll just do outreach to each of the candidates and actually encourage them to contact the league themselves directly.
Okay.
And then it's the league's decision as to whether or not they expect all candidates to be there or not.
Okay. Thank you.
So basically just contact the candidates and tell them who they should contact if they want it to happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And it has to happen relatively quickly, correct?
Well, by the end of October or by mid-October.
When do absentee ballots go out?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll check on that, too.
Because it doesn't make any sense to have it.
Prior to people being able to submit absentee ballots.
That's right. Okay. Great. That's good news.
So that is a little, we got that correspondence on Monday. The other one that we have a handout is just, there's some questions that popped up because tonight, right now, the city of Arroyo Grande and Pismo Beach and the county of San Luis Obispo have hosted a SGMA forum. So Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, that was adopted in 2014. And it's at the South County Regional Center. And I had a number of questions on that. And essentially what it is it's their initial effort to do public outreach because there are portions of the Santa Maria groundwater basin on the fringes, and it's really on the fringe of Pismo, on the fringe of Arroyo Grande, and then down in the fringe of the Napoma area. But there's portions of the groundwater basin that pursuant to the California Department of Water Resources but are not within the adjudicated boundaries of the basin with NCMA and NMMA. So something needs to be done to address these fringe areas. And again, they're on the fringe of Pismo and Arroyo Grande, so they've worked with the county to sponsor this. And it's a basic initial public education on what this Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, how it may or may not affect the adjudication and what we're working on, time will tell. But in any case, I wanted to make sure that if anybody had any questions, we could address SGMA in the workshop that's going on right now.
Okay, great.
That's it.
Okay. Do we have any closed session items, Mr. Minery? I have two announcements. For the residents of Oceano, do not forget this is big trash pickup week next week, not this week.
Between that's right.
What's the dates again? The 17th through the 23rd, or
so it's next week. So the 23rd, Friday the 23rd is pickup day in Oceano.
We 21st is for Halcyon.
And the 21st for Halcyon. Thank you. So our postcard might have missed that point.
That's okay. We covered it.
Okay.
Okay. So this is how it works because I've read the flyer and read the flyer and read the flyer, and each household has the ability to have two items picked up, two large items, at no additional cost. Forget what the flyer says, spelling out the cost, because those are costs what it usually is. This time, those costs will not be associated with it. So it's two big items, like that broken dryer, or tires, or, you know, any of that
couches.
Stuff. Couches. Now, the key, too, is that you have to call the trash company. That phone number is on the side of your trash can. And you have to do it the week that they're picking it up. So if you plan on having anything hauled away next week during that window, you have to call Monday, Tuesday.
Monday. They have to call by the end of the day Monday. Yeah.
You have to call by the end of the day Monday. So that means I have to call tomorrow. So anyway, two items, no additional fees. And that's some of your rate money going to an added additional benefit. Now, the problem is that neighboring communities don't have all the same programs. We don't have the same programs as Grover and AG, and they don't have always the same programs as us. So what happens is many times people will think, well, I'll just take my big trash stuff over to Oceano and dump it on a curb. So if you see any of that activity happening, because the people of Oceano paid for this service. And so if you want that, we would be happy to help you, you know, go to your city and work with that. But this one is for the residents of Oceano, not the residents for the South County. I've seen this happen in the past.
And I'll just,
I have another
on that same topic. I was just okay. So adding a little bit more is that in some situations, South County Sanitary, our garbage company, may be able to accommodate more than two items. They have to depend on what they are, but they may be able to do that.
Great.
And then the second thing is that even though the program itself is not available to apartment buildings, they had indicated that they will try to accommodate apartment buildings as well. And what we've asked them to do, the reason why is because in our franchise agreement, it's specifically for single-family residences, and essentially, you know, if you have a duplex or a triplex on a property, that's eligible too. But the larger apartments technically aren't. Now, they've indicated flexibility to also help with the apartments, but if they find that somebody calls them and they cannot accommodate that particular property owner or resident, then they're going to refer them back to Oceano CSD, to our staff, so that then we can work with those specific individuals under some of the other programs that we're trying to develop.
Great.
So we've got those discussions and everything pretty well sorted out with the garbage company, so we're well coordinated.
And I really want to applaud you for implementing this, because, you know, we've always thought that Oceano has five powers, and unfortunately, we forgot about the trash power, you know, even though we had the franchise agreement, sure. You know. And so by implementing this, this means that our alleys are going to be cleaner, you know, our front yards are going to be cleaner, and our backyards are going to be cleaner. And so, you know, thank you very much for taking that on and developing that program and actually getting it on the ground and running. You know, that's the big thing, implementation.
May I say one more thing?
Sure.
Nothing is more fun than watching him come pick up that ugly love seat that you have, that you've put in the front, out in the front for him, and they shove that stuff and crunch it into a big truck. It is cool to watch. So get those ugly overstuffed chairs and those ugly things out there and get rid of them. It makes you feel so good.
I'm seeing
and
it.
Yes,
over...
there's an old couch. There's an old love seat in front of my house, and I've already called, and they're going to pick it up next Wednesday and make it disappear.
Well, and I want to make sure to not take credit, even though I'm your GM. I'm working on it, really. You know, the intern Carrie's been working with Cody. The garbage company on coordinating efforts. So this has been. The very delegated type of, but we did come at a staff level. We kind of came up with some sayings: when the oldies but goodies become oldie and moldy, then it's time to use the cleanup week.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay,
you'd be surprised.
We need to work on that one.
You'd be surprised how many leather couch seats and sofas I have seen this week, and those big screen TVs. You know, lots of those. So. That's great.
Changing subjects real quick, there was a great article in the Tribune recently about gray water and using your washing machine. And there was a great article. It's a great way to landscape. I've been meaning to do it for a long time, but I think this is going to push me over the edge. And maybe I'll get a lawn back. I don't know. I've just got the infield right now, no lawn. But,
so. I have the postage stamp.
I got some crabgrass, but that's about it.
I got
well,
dirt.
That's lawn.
Yeah.
I got dirt.
Okay, and then I have one more announcement. It's the beach cleanup this Saturday. And so you know, we all have to live through the tourists and everybody heading to the beach through the summer. And so I think it's a statewide beach cleanup too, isn't it? Coastal Cleanup Day, the 17th. There's a group of people who are meeting on Pier and Strand at 9 a.m. They have these really great T-shirts that say, I love Oceano. So you can never find good Oceano T-shirts, so I'm going just for the T-shirt, you know. But so I strongly encourage everybody to come out and show support and grab a pickup stick and let's hit the beach. Clean it up. So
I'll be there.
You're going to be there?
Yep.
Great.
Do some real work.
Okay. Okay. Is there any more comments or?
I'll move to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Good night.
Adjourned.